The following award-winning episode of the DTFH is brought to you by Squarespace.com. Tired of that coyote-headed man who comes to you in your dreams and shows you your grandmother's skeleton? Then all you gotta do is start a website, and he'll go away. It's guaranteed. Just go to Squarespace.com, and if you use offer code Duncan, you'll get 10% off your first order. Sign up for a year, you get a free domain name. Before we dive into the meat of this episode, I just want to say thank you to the National Podcasters Association of America for giving this episode over 25 podcasting awards, including the Golden Lion and the Fancy Gentleman Award. I will forever be honored, and I hope to produce more episodes that you enjoy. I couldn't have done it without the listeners. Thank you. Greetings, friends. Just to answer some accusations I've been getting, no, the series of bleeps that you just heard is not a CIA mind control beam created by DARPA. Just a series of bloops. I do not get paid by the Defense Department to put those bloops inside my podcast to activate certain agents out there to begin Project Shepherd's Gunt. Begin Project Shepherd's Gunt. All right, here we go, guys. It's time for Mailbag, where I read and respond to emails from the listeners.
Mailbag!
Dear Duncan, Kyle in Boston, just writing to ask if the series of bleeps and bloops you've been playing at the beginning of this episode are actually a DARPA mind control beam. Can you let me know? Thanks so much, Kyle in Boston. Dear Kyle, the answer to your question is no, and I want you to turn the volume up on your listening device so that you can understand that this... And I'm just going to play it one more time so everybody can be very clear on the sound that I'm talking about. The following sound is most certainly not a government mind control audio beam. It's just a regular series of bleeps and bloops. I do not work for the CIA. I do not get paid by the Defense Department. That sound is just filler that I decided to throw in to the beginning of this podcast. It is most definitely not activating Agent 49637.
Mailbag!
All right, friends, we have a truly scintillating episode of the DTFH right around the corner. We're going to jump right into it, but first, some quick business. This episode of the DTFH is brought to you by the noble alchemists of the internet over at Squarespace.com. Thanks to Squarespace, you no longer have to worry about getting a fiery poison crossbow bolt shot through the base of your spine and out your mouth by a disgruntled web designer who's been snorting methamphetamine for the last couple of weeks. Squarespace has everything you need to build a beautiful website. You can use their amazing templates to assemble something so incredible it will make the gods weep. MakeTheGodsWeep.com. Is it available? I just went to Squarespace and it is available. You can make a website called MakeTheGodsWeep.com. Make it about your grandmother. Just show pictures of your grandmother and call it MakeTheGodsWeep. Squarespace has beautiful templates that you can use to assemble an incredible website. And remember, one of my friends sells her socks online. She makes money selling her socks. There's no reason for you to not have some kind of website selling your stinky socks too, or whatever it is that you have to offer the world, whatever it is that you've been placed here to give, to serve, to love. Most importantly, I use Squarespace for DuncanTrussell.com. So if you want an example of a beautiful Squarespace website, go to DuncanTrussell.com and check it out. Whenever I upload an episode of this podcast, I use Squarespace and I've never had a problem. So start your free trial today by going to Squarespace.com. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code Duncan and you will get 10% off of a brand new beautiful website or domain. Thank you, Squarespace, for sponsoring the DTFH. Also, an infinite thank you from the bottom of my seventh chakra to the sweet patrons who have subscribed to the DTFH over at patreon.com. Do you want to go into the deepest, deepest, sultriest, most humid, oily, sticky, pungent, yet sweet part of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast? Then go to patreon.com/DTFH. For a mere $2 a month, the same price as a glass of fine wine, you can have access to monologues, rants, rambles, and weird songs that I don't have the guts to put on the main feed for a mere $5 a month. The cost of a hit of acid in the 90s, you can get access to commercial-free interviews before they hit the main feed. This episode you're about to hear with the brilliant Alexi Wasser has been sitting over at patreon.com/DTFH for the last few days. But most importantly, by subscribing to this podcast, you will support me. You will become my master. I will bow to you. I will kiss your leather boot. You will push me into the mud. You will push my face into the mud, and I'll be forced to experience the hefty weight, firm yet kind, of your boot against my cheek as I tremble in fear and delight. Patreon.com/DTFH. Won't you support us? We're at approximately 700 subscribers now. I don't know, maybe 637. I would like to get that number up to 40,000 subscribers by the end of the week. Help me out, gang. Just go to patreon.com/DTFH and sign up. Dive in. Experience the sonic healing ray. Let the eagle of time fly into your dreams. This can only happen if you subscribe to the DTFH over at patreon.com. Another great way to support this podcast is to go through our Amazon link, which is located at duncantrussell.com. Whenever you do that, anything that you buy on Amazon, they'll give us a very small percentage of. And as you know, if you follow me on Instagram and follow my Insta stories, which I've started doing since I've become friends with Alexi, that I have become obsessed, deeply, embarrassingly obsessed with modular synthesizers. And sometimes I stream myself tinkering with these beautiful alien devices. If you want to really freak out your life, then go to Amazon.com and order anything from Make Noise, which is this insane company in Asheville that produces these modular synths. Start with the Zero Coast. You won't understand it. It is like having some kind of alien technology, but something about the sweet bleeps and zings and zoops that the sounds these things make is so soothing. Just go through the Amazon link first, won't you? Anything you order when you go through that link, we get a small percentage of it. It costs you nothing. Thank you to those of you who continue to use that link. And finally, we have a shop located at duncantrussell.com with t-shirts, posters, and stickers. Tomorrow morning, I'm headed to Maui to attend the 10th annual Ram Dass Open Your Heart in Paradise retreat, where I'm lucky enough to get to do podcasts with some of the teachers there. If you weren't able to make it to the retreat this year, and I'm not about to see you in a few days, then you can actually stream the retreat. I'm going to have the link to that in the comments section at duncantrussell.com. This is going to start next Wednesday. So if you want to watch the retreat from home, watch some of the live podcasts I'm going to be doing with Raghu Marcus, hopefully Jack Kornfield, I don't know who else, then check out the link at duncantrussell.com. Sign up and you can have access online to the entire retreat. Holy smokes, pals, I am smitten with today's guest. She's got a wonderful podcast on the Nerdist Network called Love Alexi, an amazing blog called imboycrazy.com. She creates some of the funniest Insta stories I've ever seen. She's been in Cabin Fever 2, produced, directed, and starred in her own awesome short film, Love Alexi. And now she's here with us today. So everybody, please enhance your chakras and send a glowing spray of rainbow light through the astral plane to shower down upon our noble, esteemed, and glorious guest, Alexi Wasser.
Is it really working now?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh, it's happening now?
Yes.
Oh my God. It's like we're having sex. It looks like it's like...
How is it like we're having sex?
Because it's just like both of us joined up on a thing and it's all...
Oh, like two sound waves. Alexi, welcome. Just count. Do you mind counting to 10 for a second?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, God.
6, 7, 8. Okay, that looks about
right. Is it working? 9, 10, 11, 12.
Alexi, welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. Thank you so much for coming here on Thanksgiving. What an honor.
Oh, my God. Are we doing it?
Yeah, we're doing it.
Does this count as a date?
I mean, yeah, I guess this is a form of date.
Oh,
sure.
Whatever. You don't have to say that. Don't just say that.
Do you think it is? We've already been on dates.
This is none of my business. You're just out of a relationship. I'm not trying to put you in a corner. I was flirting with you. It was a light flirt.
Yeah, we can't. So what is, I thought that.
If you want this to be a date, it'll be a date.
Here's what's funny. Here's what's super funny.
Are we podcasting now?
Yes.
Okay.
We've both been hanging out now for.
A little bit. A few days.
A few days.
A few hours.
And so, but you have a podcast where you're like, and also not only a podcast, you've.
Empire. It's an empire.
It's something of an empire. I mean, you have been for years, you've been building this thing. You have this.
So this is not a date? What are you saying?
What?
I'm sorry.
I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? It's like, I don't know what it would be. If it's a date, it's a really, I mean, it's a weird date, I guess. Like, go on a podcast date. It sounds like
that's all I do. That is my whole MO with my podcast. All the men on there are just men I'm trying to, that's actually
hook
not
up
true.
With?
No, that's actually not true. People.
Do you feel like that's going to mess you up in the future that you said this, that
no,
year?
No, nobody listens to this, right? What are your numbers? People aren't going to hear this, right?
Come on.
I'm just kidding.
Do you think there's something unethical about that? Like,
no, I don't do that. I was just fucking around, but like, can we?
I don't think you're fucking around.
No, but I've had boyfriends who have accused me. They're like, have you fucked every single podcast, you know, guy guest you've ever had?
You did tell me that you have booked people on the podcast. No, I don't think you were. Were you?
Yeah, you sound like my jealous ex. How dare you?
I don't feel.
Can we start this podcast, please?
All right, here we go.
No, this is still happening. I'm not saying.
The problem is, though, your level is like too high. Hold on.
Oh, because I'm a shrieker.
No, keep talking.
Hello? I'm shrieking. Oh, my God. No way. I can't believe it.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my God. We're starting again?
Yeah, we're starting again.
Oh, my God. That was good stuff.
Do you think that was good stuff? I love it. I'll tell you, when I watch your Instagram stories, and I watch them every single time, immediately one goes up, I have an alert on my phone.
I know.
They,
I would ask if you were jerking off, but then the whole Louis C.K. thing when he was jerking off on the phone with girls and they didn't know it, which is something like.
I mean, if it gets to a point where jerking off to Instagram stories is a crime, then I guess 80% of the population of the planet will be in jail.
Anyway, what were you going to ask me? Oh my God. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Everybody's good. I can't wait to start this podcast.
So. No, I think you do. You have. I mean, I bet if we had a pie chart that showed the men who've been on your podcast.
Oh my God, Duncan! No, and here, let me just say this really quick. That's a joke. I have not.
But what would the percentage? There is a percentage.
Hold on. Let me just say this because I don't want you to turn into some monster that I'm no longer dating. I had an ex-boyfriend who accused me. He was like, "Have you fucked every single guy who's ever been on your podcast?" And I was like. No. And it's like, I've known you for 3 days. Why are you talking to me like this? That's none of your business. And then I internalize it so intensely because my blog, my podcast, everything I've ever done in my entire life has kind of ruined any chances at having a good relationship that I internalize that guy saying that about my podcast, my male podcast guest. And I asked my podcast producer, Aristotle, he's not listening, but I asked him, I was like, have I slept with all of my male guests? And we went through all the male guests and I had slept with like, 3 of them who were like people I was dating at the time.
How many male guests have you have?
3. Just kidding. Can you turn your phone off? God damn it. There's one of them now. Oh God. You're not even flipping your phone over. I make my guests flip their phone over because I have
So
it's a screen is like a beacon.
Okay, so 3. So what? I mean, I don't know. What is
no,
that?
It's that's not like been less
joking.
Than
4%.
Anyway, what do you want to ask me?
You've slept with less than 4% of your guests. Mm-hmm. So that's like, that's fine. So what if it was even more? What's the big deal?
Well, I don't know. What is the big deal? You're the one making it a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal at all. I just think that.
So this is not a date.
What?
This is not a date then, because we're already fighting.
Do you want this to be a date?
No, I'm just excited to be spending Thanksgiving with you. It's cozy. And you look so handsome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You look very, very beautiful.
You guys can't see he's wearing plaid, a button-down plaid shirt, but it's not button. It's open to reveal his dark gray, not quite black, crew neck t-shirt, effortlessly chic, 50 cotton, 50 poly probably. He's got a haircut. He trimmed his beard because I think I suggested it like a week ago. Yeah.
That stream of consciousness thing that you just did, that's kind of what you do. And it's really funny. And you do it on these Insta stories. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. It's like you're doing, this is when we started communicating. And then I was like looking you up on the internet. And then I started, then I got pulled into your Insta stories. And I'm watching what you're doing. It's fucking funny. And it's weird because when you say Insta stories, it immediately
takes away from any special thing.
Absolutely. Because it's like the medium itself is, in a lot of people's eyes, corrupt.
Why?
I think because Instagram has been just decried as this kind of like embarrassing, even though everyone's doing it, but it's still, people see it as a kind of like, you know, I have friends who make fun of it. Oh, Instagram. Oh, you're on Instagram. Even the name sounds bad. Instagram.
They're not on Instagram? That's their problem.
No, Insta stories. Got it. It doesn't sound cool.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's not like, what it really is like it's film, and you're doing these really quick vignettes. So if you were saying, oh, you know, I shoot these little vignettes of my life, these kind of like biopic comedic vignettes of my life, and I show them at cinemas where we drink absinthe, and it's like it's a postmodern commentary on existence in the, or whatever.
So you do the stream of consciousness thing too.
I do.
That's your own thing. That's why you see yourself in me, and that's why we're here right now.
We have a lot of similarities, I think, and I think we share a certain aesthetic, which is this idea of attempting to sort of fearlessly announce what's happening to us or something, like this feeling of wanting to be really honest, but then also hopefully funny inside of that too, like not just like embarrassingly confessional.
Yeah. Well, that's like, well, I have two things. That's what, like, it should be funny. I think that's like the best, because that's what I'm looking for. Like when I watch a movie that I really love, or when I like find something that I like really tune into and love, it's because it's like, it makes me feel less alone. I relate to it. I see myself in the thing. It's, oh my God, it's so raw and honest that I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this person was so brave to reveal this thing. But then also it makes me laugh. So that's my favorite kind of shit to watch. So I think that's, and that's, so that's what I want to make. You know, I always want to be laughing. Like I'll see really serious things, like whether it's a movie or whatever the fuck it is, or somebody who takes himself so seriously. And I'm like, God, I always prefer to laugh. Like, I'd just rather be laughing. Maybe I sound too serious now. Oh, but you talking about Insta stories, about talking about how like your friends don't like it, and your friend, and you've got to like frame it like it's like cinema and we're watching we're watching it with absinthe. Like, I don't even feel the need to like frame it so intensely, because it's so, I don't even know who's making fun of Insta stories. Because to me, the futuristic,
the same people who make fun of YouTube stars.
Oh no, it's different. No way. Because I have the, and that's a problem in me. I would make fun of like Vine stars. Like one of my best girlfriends, who people don't understand why we're best girlfriends, because we're so different. She's like a Vine star. She looks like she shops at Hot Topics. Like, she's kind of cheesy, but she's so wonderful. And oh my God, I hope I'm not like parched right now. Can you hear this?
No. Do you want some water?
No, I've got rosé right here.
Okay.
We're getting tipsy while we podcast, you guys. It's Thanksgiving. How dare you? Anyway, I would make fun of Vine stars, and I would make fun of like YouTube stars. But that's my problem, because the whole thing is like the futuristic way of thinking, or the way to think, is it's just where people are putting their attention. It's where people choose to put their attention. So I don't need to think about it as cinema. Yeah, it's Insta stories. I used to be really shy when I first started with it, because I was like, oh, everybody's going to see, and it's connected to Instagram. That's where everybody's like really into Instagram, and Snapchat is kind of like, maybe it's still thriving. But now I make a joke that's not a joke, and not to talk in tweets, but I like tweeted the other day, like, oh, I have my own TV show now. It's on the Instagram network. My show is constantly on the air. Like, check it out on the Instagram network, because that's what it is. It's like, that's where everybody can have their own TV show, you know, where it's like, it's, anyway. And now you're doing it more.
Well, because of you.
I don't know about that.
100%. But before we get into that, so what you're talking about, I imagine there was some time way in the dark, distant, primordial past where, like, in a tribe, there was probably somebody who was super funny and charisma, the storyteller. And they would sit in front of the campfire, and he would tell stories, and people loved it, and they would laugh. And the stories he told, other people had told him, and he would share the stories. And that was what entertainment was. Yeah. But then, at some point, some asshole was like, you know what? The campfire thing's cool, but not everybody can see me. I'm going to build a little platform to stand on to tell the stories. And probably the older storyteller the first time someone built a stage was like, what a fucking asshole.
I'm out. I'm not doing that.
Standing on a stage. That's not how we do it. We don't stand on a stage. We sit in front of the campfire and tell the story. Not on a stage. That's not real storytelling when you're standing on a stage. Oh. So in the same way, it's like with a history of comedy, you know, it's like stand-up comedy. Before that, it was like vaudeville, and then stand-up comedy sort of transforms into like, oh, TV, the glory of TV. A lot of stand-up comics, the dream was to get on TV. You get on TV and more people can see your comedy. And then, but now this new thing has emerged, which is like, we don't really need TV anymore.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is every evolution of the stage is decried in some way or another by people who are attached to the previous version.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening when people look at whatever the fucking thing is and say, no, that doesn't really count.
And also, I think like if you have like an unwillingness to go with the flow and to the next thing, that shows like how far you are able to go. It shows like your age kind of in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like you can be a certain age and then have like a willingness to like, stop looking at your computer. I can't believe you.
Oh, I'm looking to make sure the levels are okay.
Duncan, God.
Alexi, I have to make sure.
Did you just call me ugly and fat? I can't believe this.
No, I did not.
Okay. But I know you're like, how old are you? Like 60? You're like 60 59. Years old. I know. Just almost. But you have such a youthful willingness to like, I don't know. But I'm just saying like people who don't have like the willingness to like try the next thing or do Insta stories or try Snapchat or like, and are like, oh, back in my day, like, that's just embarrassing for them. It shows their age and it shows their like, what's the word? Rigidity. Oh my God, you're getting me drunk.
Rigidity.
Is that it? Rigidity? The rigidness? That's not the word. Tell me.
Rigidity.
Okay. Well,
being stuck.
Yeah. And you can't, the whole thing is you got to keep like moving. That's why it's like, and that's why I wonder like, do you need managers and agents anymore? Or at what point are those things going to, or like TV networks and magazines?
We
and
need
like,
partners.
You need partners.
If you have a good manager and agent, it's a my agent's amazing. Like he's amazing.
Stop bragging, okay?
He's great.
You know I just love my manager.
I know.
Oh God.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But my agent's he's really, really smart.
Get a room.
He loves doing business and he's like he's a partner. So like if he wasn't an agent, he would be my business partner. He just happens to be an agent. Yeah. And because of that, because my brain like spins in like terrible like vortexes that aren't really quite often monetizable, and there's no way to make. But he's someone who can focus that and like,
really?
Oh wait, why don't we do this?
How old is he?
I really don't. I think he's like 17. He just turned 17.
Oh, cool. See, there you go.
He's great.
Oh, that's why. Oh God, I loved him like Louis when his like manager was like 8 years old. And I know we're not allowed to. We're supposed
was
to
that in a Louis?
Yeah.
Well, this is the
I know we're not allowed to like his work
it's
anymore.
It's funny you bring up your manager and Louis C.K. because they're connected. Your manager was Louis C.K.'s manager. Your manager just got in a hellstorm because he was implicated in. Can you tell a story of what happened to your manager, Dave Becky? You want to talk about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, Dave Becky was Louis C.K.'s manager, not his manager anymore, right? Didn't he drop Louis C.K.? But he was implicated in this whole story about, you know, so it came out that Louis C.K. was jerking off in front of multiple women over the course of like however long. And one of the things in, what article was it? Who cares? Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Useless detail. Like, was that Dave Becky threatened the careers of two of the girls. He threatened to hurt their career if they didn't stop. Like,
was that in the article? He said he was going to fuck up their career.
I don't know. That's what got Dave Becky into so much trouble. Is the vibe for like?
I thought it was kind of foggy. It was just kind of.
It
like,
was foggy. That's the thing.
There was some sense that he had
power over their control.
But he had just basically told them, "Hey, shut up."
Hey, shut up.
Some version of shut up.
And that's why it's like a murky thing because it's like
it's murky.
I talked to my agent. And I talked to executives that I've worked with in the past who were kind of like bummed that I left Dave Becky. And I left Dave Becky because it was a disappointing story.
I mean, outside of this like thing that just happened, he's considered to be one of the top comedy managers.
Yeah. He's a badass. He's
I mean, he
charming.
Represented Louis C.K.
Louis C.K., Maya Rudolph, whoever, Aziz Ansari, Kevin Hart, just like Amy Poehler, like.
He's
you know,
one of like the legendary, there's a few legendary managers. He's one of them.
And I love him. You know, he's a badass. He's into rock and roll. He's got great taste. He's a super charming. And like, I just looked up to him. So this whole thing, like, you know, it was murky and foggy.
But you left him 100% because of the Louis C.K. thing? Or were there other
reasons? I didn't leave him 100% because of the Louis C.K. thing. But like, you know, I just feel like everybody's screaming on the internet now. I just thought like, it had been a long time coming. I just wanted to get away. I don't like going to 3 Arts or management companies in general because of the dick jokes and the misogyny and like the overall like comedy community is like so male oriented that I just thought like, I'm not one of his biggest clients anyway. It doesn't matter. I'm disappointed by this story. Oh God, I'm a woman. Like, I just got to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Like, and I,
it was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
It was the straw that broke the camel's back. And then it's, and then I also was getting like, there's this other thing going on. And I'll go back to Dave Becky, but there's this other thing going on. And tell me if I start slurring because I haven't eaten. I've only had a donut and I'm drinking rosé on Thanksgiving at your house or whatever. But there's this thing that like people are doing, women, which is really disappointing. Because I guess they look up to Rose McGowan and I love Rose McGowan. But there's like this weird feminist woman on woman bullying to tell your story and to do what they tell you is the right thing to do. And like, I have two things going on in my life right now. There's like, you know, and who cares about me being a client of Dave Becky? I'm not anymore, but that's neither here nor there. It's like, I started getting all these like emails and like DMs on Twitter and Instagram being like, are you going to say anything about this Dave Becky and Louis C? And it's like, are you, you better leave. You better fucking leave. Like these women like telling me what to do. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Also, don't tell me what to do. And you're a woman telling another woman in this crazy time with all this fucking weird upheaval where it's like every woman right now is like hearing about, you know, the Brett Ratner, the Harvey Weinstein stuff. Every woman hearing these stories in the news right now.
Charlie Rose,
like everything, like Russell Simmons, and I got my own Russell Simmons story to talk about, but it's like every woman right now reading all this shit in the news. And I don't know if you can relate to this or not. You're a guy and you're a wonderful, awoken, lovely, charismatic sweetheart. Like, so I don't know if you can relate to this, but like for most women, every woman I talk to, it's like all the shit that they've ever experienced with guys, whether like they're sexually assaulted, spoken to in a weird way, a carrot was dangled in like a weird situation where they're like with a boss who had power over them. Like all their horror stories of men are coming to the surface now that they've been trying to like suppress because they didn't want to think of themselves as a victim or they didn't come forward with it or they didn't think like they were like, oh, I'll just put it on me and I won't like, so I'm going through my own shit. All my girlfriends are going through their own shit. And then other women, strangers on the internet are going to be like telling me how I'm supposed to like deal with my manager situation or like, it's like, fuck you. It's just like some weird thing that's happening.
It doesn't feel like, feel like camaraderie as much as like aggression. It feels like this kind of like,
it's you're, like bullying. It's like this new form of bullying where it's like the jocks, like the cheerleader girls are like, well, now we're going to tell you like, this is how it works at the high school. And it's like, oh my God, back the fuck. Anyway, so.
Why do you think right now? This is happening. Why is this?
It's scary though.
Avalanche of revelation happening right now.
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, well, because Trump was elected, right?
Is it because of Trump?
I think at first, like, you know, this is like one of the, this is like a blessing kind of, like one of the good things about him being elected is the fact that it like made people, shook people up and went, oh my God, racism. And
you think it would have happened if Hillary got elected?
I don't think so. I really don't.
So
I
mean, is this some kind of balancing? Because like, there's this like
nobody listens to this, right?
No one. Like, there used to be listeners. I mean, I think it might happen again.
Oh my God!
But do you think this is like a societal reaction to having this like brute in office?
Of course, because all of a sudden, I know the day after I got after the election, like I went downstairs to my car, was hyper aware of how white I am. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like this means that like the fact that he's in office means that the majority of people, you know, it was about, I don't know. I'm all over the place right now drinking rosé on Thanksgiving, but here's something that happened the day that Trump was elected. I walked downstairs to my car, somebody had blocked my car in and I was furious. I was already on edge. I was like, I can't believe this. Fuck. Like who's blocking my car? I gotta go to Starbucks. Yeah. I gotta go to Starbucks now. I'm late to go to Starbucks. I'm like, this blonde white neighbor of mine who I can't stand, like ran down and like just so, you know, whatever. And I went, what a self-important, like, whatever. Like, I just felt like she was a.
Why are you so white aware?
Because I felt like the people who voted Trump in office were like people who were like. It just meant that racism was still alive, and that it meant that like misogyny is super alive, and like, and so I remember just thinking like, oh, there's a bird chirping. I can't focus. I've got ADD. You guys can't hear this bird. We got to do something.
Maybe they can. It's a, that's a really like intense bird too. Like
that's a really that's a bird. That bird hates women. That bird is like hearing me speak and is like trying to stifle
me.
Oh
shit! It's probably one of those new Trump CIA birds where anyone's where whenever a podcast starts talking shit about Trump, a robotic bird lands in the window and starts trying to drown it out.
My point was, I just thought I thought oh my god, this girl is just like so self-involved and has no self-awareness and is blocking my car in because she's like white. Whatever. And then I went, oh my god, I'm white. And I went,
yeah,
if I think that way about her, then I can't imagine like what I don't know. I became hyper aware of like what my skin color represented.
Is it racist to be like
racist against myself?
Yeah,
no, I deserve it.
That was something I was thinking, is like the racism of white people has finally like reached its like climax, and that white people are now racist against white people. Like they ran through all the other races and now they all that's left is their own body to like despise, you know.
I'm brunette though, so it's like I'm a little bit cooler. Actually, I'm naturally blonde. I don't know if my story landed.
So you know it landed. Oh, you're God. But no, it's the day after Trump. You're just like, ah, oh, fuck.
I'm just saying all the upheaval is happening.
For a lot of people, it was a reality check.
Everybody's on edge. Everybody's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize the majority of the country felt this way. This guy could be elected. So that just must mean that most people are like racist, misogynist, horrible, blah, blah, white supremacist. Like, oh
angry.
My God.
No, it means what it means, I think, is that people are angry. And because a lot of people in like huge swaths of the country are unemployed. They're like fucking, they're doomed. They're kind of doomed. They're all like snorting oxy. They're like out of their fucking minds and they're fucking pissed. Meanwhile, Obama, you know, he deported more people than any American, than all the American presidents combined.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You voted for Trump, right?
No, I voted for a bag of tarantulas.
Me too.
Oh, good. That's great. I did vote for a bag of tarantulas. But
I don't want to talk politics. I'm not good at that.
It's not politics.
Let's talk about boys and feelings.
No, we'll get to that. But okay. I think it's like what happened with Trump was a blessing in a lot of different ways. But one of the blessings was with Obama, we have this like charismatic, beautiful, graceful, like aristocratic leader. Who's like ordering drone strikes that killed countless innocent children. He murdered so many people. He increased the surveillance in the United States. But my God, man, he's so fucking graceful.
So handsome. That
so
suit.
Handsome. Yeah. So fucking cool. He's cool, man. He's cool. Yet he's a murderer. He's a mass murderer. And
all presidents are, right?
Yeah. Many of them are. Probably all. I don't know. But so Obama is a kind of monster, but he's a beautiful monster. And the glory of Trump is here we have this like
he's just a monster.
He's an oligarch. You know, we have this brutish fucking billionaire, disconnected, crazy being who at least in this case, we can see he kind of looks like a pig. Where Obama didn't look like a pig. I want my pigs to look like pigs. So when we're looking at him, it's like, okay, this is a pig.
I'm pointing at me.
Well, I don't think of you as that. But anyway, the point is so because we now have this overt representation of what is happening in the world, which is what Terrence McKenna called male dominator culture, the amplification of that in the extreme. It's produced this a lot of beautiful reactions, I think.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of beautiful reactions.
Yeah.
But I also feel like with all the stuff that's happening, with this upheaval, let's say, with men and women, with like, you know, Harvey Weinstein is a monster. But like with all the like, with everything that's going on, I feel like it's like, I feel like everything, it's all happening so fast because it like, and that the, I don't know. It's just so much is happening right now. It makes it like scared. I can't even imagine people dating right now.
You know what?
Maybe this isn't a date.
You know what the apocalypse means?
Yeah.
You
well,
do?
Tell me.
Like so, the Greek. I think it's Greek. The Greek is it means the lifting of the veil. So.
Oh God.
Yes.
It is the apocalypse then.
Yeah.
So how can we be on a date now? You're probably a monster.
What?
What's going to happen?
I'm a monster.
What's going to come out about you?
Oh, I think we're all monsters. I mean, I think that really,
I call myself a monster all the time.
I think if you look at like, I mean, if you look at any human, some people have acted on their darkest impulses and they've done it over and over and over again. And I don't think anything is unforgivable, but I think that we need, when I look at all this shit going down, I think, man, what we need in society is like, you know, like Kevin Spacey or all these people like, oh, I'm going to rehab. Like in the West, rehab became this sort of like...
Is he going to rehab?
Well, that's what people say when they've been accused of things like this. Because in the West, rehab has become sort of like the chamber of purification. So it's like, really what we need is a chamber of purification where a person does some rotten thing somewhere in between jail and like, you know, saying you're sorry. It would be amazing if there's a place that people like Harvey Weinstein or whoever in the future emerges, and not just with like crazy sex people, but anyone who does some ridiculously stupid shit. It would be really beautiful if we had built into our society a forgiveness chamber that people could go into and in a real way atone for whatever dark karma that they had like spread into the world. Louis C.K. being a perfect example of this, which is that here we have a rusty pipe with very sweet water that came out of it. Because if you...
His work.
Yes.
Yeah.
So funny.
I know, I love Woody Allen movies. I'm not going to stop loving Woody Allen movies.
It's rusty pipes. And it's like, I'm not going to let some person's like fucking crazy, bullying, egocentric, super hyper-sexualized, repressed lunacy
ruin the work.
No way. Yeah. Because that's to imply what I think is one of the fundamental delusions when it comes to art, which is that the thing that the art is coming out of has anything to do with the art. And I think when a person who is producing the art thinks that they're responsible, that person inevitably is a complete cunt. When you run into someone who's all puffed up because of the stuff they're making, it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
You're like a radio.
But
playing Beethoven that thinks you're Beethoven.
But don't people, what about when you use the work to walk through the demons that you're fighting, right? When you use that as a tool to like get through it or make sense of it or forgive yourself for it or feel better about it. You know what I mean? That's another aspect of like,
yeah, sure.
But that means I can't enjoy the work and I still want to enjoy the work as a third party who's just like, anyway.
I think of the work as another creature that a person created and that to reject the work because of the creator of the work, yeah, is to like to do a great disservice to a living hyperdimensional being that, so I'm not going to stop enjoying Louis C.K.'s comedy. I'm not going to stop enjoying anything he put out. That amazing short film, like where... What
short film?
He did this incredible short about...
I can't believe you wrote me into this like Louis C.K. appreciation podcast.
It's not.
I can't believe
No, it's not.
I was kidding.
It's not. I think this is kind of like when...
This is not a date.
When somebody like Louis C.K. or whoever it is, Kevin Spacey, is talented and is focused and ambitious and works really hard to the point where they're making really beautiful stuff. I think that they're incredibly irresponsible, aside from all the ethical shit and just like the lives they're hurting from being this amazing, talented being and then like assaulting someone. Aside from just that, the fact that like they're doing that, that's obviously the number one sin. But in a close second is the fact that they've become this conduit for this beautiful art.
A conduit, yeah.
Yeah. And now they're not only are they jerking off in front of these like people who respected them, they're like jerking off in front of their art. You know what I mean? And it's like, God damn it. Why are you adding this extra pull up that we have to do to appreciate beauty in the world? You're bringing beauty in the world.
Yeah.
That's an incredible thing. Respect that that's what you're doing. The ideal priest class, not the corrupted priest class, sucking off toddlers, you know, whatever, like a lot of priests do. The ideal priest class, and I think an artist is a form of priest.
Yeah.
Abides by a certain ethic because they are their channels or their connective points that people can talk to God through, and it's sacred, and so they have to abide by these certain rules, and the moment that a priest doesn't do that, then anything they've taught the person
is false. Then
is not false, but in the person's mind they're going to reject the teaching because The thing that it came out of was fucking standing in a hotel room, sweating and fucking coming all over a fucking hotel couch in front of them. It's awful. It's like a great sin. If you are lucky enough that you're producing beauty into the world, just if you're going to jerk off in front of somebody, don't ask permission because they're fucking like your friend and you know they're going to say no, and somehow it gives you like the sense of, hire a sex worker. There's sex workers. Get a sex worker. Contribute to like that economy. Like, get a sex worker who's going to act freaked out that you're jerking off in front of them. There's so many great ways to like do it. Yeah. That's all.
Oh my God.
I'm not defending what Louis C.K. or any of these freaks did. I'm just saying, like,
I don't think you are.
Me, what's particularly, and what's kind of getting left out in the story is, and it, maybe it should get left out because like the primary thing is like, you know, here's people who really respected you, that trusted you, that were in your presence, that thought you were cool, that thought you were hanging out with them because you thought they were funny.
So funny. I went on a date with Louis C.K.
Oh, you did?
I did.
What happened?
He didn't jerk off in front of me. He didn't even ask.
Did you?
What's wrong with me?
Did you feel that really? Was there a moment?
That's a horrible joke. It's a horrible joke. I've been making that joke, but not on a podcast with a microphone in front of my mouth. But then I realized, like, now in the current climate, to make a joke like, "What's wrong with me? Why didn't you want to jerk off in front of me?" is like not allowed because nobody has a sense of humor, and it's like we're not allowed to make jokes or anything to deflect.
Yeah, with this stuff, you have to. You're like, there's a lot. Everything is so like high strung.
It is so high strung, and yeah, no, I went on a date with him like when I was like, oh God, maybe like 9 years ago or something. And oh, because I had met him. Yeah, and he was totally lovely and fine. That doesn't mean he hasn't jerked off in front of a bunch of people. I'm not taking away from the shitty things he's done. But like my experience with him was we met at some like kids in the hall. Do you have time for this? Are you hanging yourself? Hanging yourself? You can't see. Duncan is standing on a chair, fashioning a noose.
This is fucking amazing.
Fashioning
a noose. What are you talking about?
No, so years ago, I think I was like 21 years old. I was at like a party that one of the guys from Kids in the Hall threw. I can't remember what his name is, but he had like a pool party, and like I was in the pool, tipsy, topless, without asking anybody's consent, topless in the pool, talking to like a then lesser known but still widely respected Louis C.K. And I think he was married at the time, and he is having a conversation with me, and this is so funny because now as an adult to see the situation this man was in, like. I was just topless, so naive and green. And I think I was doing stand-up at the time. And then just like asking about life and what it all means. And meanwhile, like I'm topless in my undies in a swimming pool at like 1 a.m. And he's just like, you know, hopefully he used it as an image to jerk off later. I mean, I hope. But whatever. But he was just like sitting there in the pool with me. And he was married. Years later, he MySpaces me. And he's like, hey, I'd love to like, you know, I'm divorced now. Like, I remember meeting you in that pool and it would be really great to like, so basically he was just like trying to find all the girls he wished he had fucked or something. Like,
yeah.
Over the course of many years. And like, you know, do you want to meet for a date? So we went to like the Beechwood Cafe or something all tucked away. And we walked in there and I think we walked into one section of the Beechwood Cafe. It's a spot in Tinseltown where whatever, like, but, and there are all these like writers he knew in this one nook of it. And he was like, oh no, I'm not in there. And, you know, and then so we found this one spot, and I think he talked about Dave Becky too. He was about to go pitch some TV show with Dave Becky. It's like years before I ever met Dave Becky, and it was like totally lovely. We just talked about comedy and like, you know, yeah. I think it was glazed over. I think he'd had enough. I think I was like too earnest and like naive for him or something, or not to be fucked with or somehow. And then he walked into my car. He asked me if he could kiss me. I said no because I was not attracted to him. And then that was it. And then like a year later, I started my blog and I like MySpaced him and asked him if like he would read it. And I never heard back from him. And then I heard him on Howard Stern talking about how right after his divorce, he revisited all the girls he had wanted to fuck. And he fucked some of them, not all of them. And I was like, well, I guess I was just one of the girls he didn't fuck. And then I watched the pilot of Louis, which is like where that's kind of what he's doing. He's like going back to the women that he used to know in his past now that he was divorced. And I just thought that was so interesting to watch it unfold, and it just keeps getting more interesting, I suppose, like with the jerk off stuff. But
well, you know, there's like a, I think we were talking about this not on a podcast, but there's this mystic Gurdjieff, and he talks about what a person is, and the idea is a person is not one person. A person is a hive of selves. So within any person,
they're multifaceted.
Yeah. Yes. So it's like there's so many personalities living inside of any of us at any given time. So there's the tired version of you, the angry version of you.
Oh my God.
They're like, yeah, the loving version of you, the in love version of you, the happy
podcast version of me.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And like some of these versions of us are completely antithetical and completely opposed to each other and completely the opposite. And so many people spend a lot of energy suppressing certain versions of themselves. And we've seen this in psychology with multiple personality disorder, where people will become someone else. A person who's right-handed will become left-handed. A person who has like physical disorders will emerge in certain personalities that aren't in other personalities. So
if I've been like that. Oh, don't you feel like you show your meanest sides to your parents and the person you're in a loving relationship with?
Yeah, because you want to be healed.
You want to be healed?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the meanest to my parents and whoever I'm having sex with. Or that was when I used to have sex and date. I don't do that anymore.
That's not true.
Okay.
Why do you say that?
I'll tell you later. On the podcast, though. Keep going.
Well, that's funny. Well, that's a funny part of yourself you want to put out there. Oh, I'm not dating. Oh, I don't.
I am dating.
Of course,
dating.
You're always dating.
I am dating.
You're like very romantic and you have lots of relationships.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, the idea is like that what happens is if you're very comfortable around someone, if I go to the doctor and I tell him about how I want to feel versus how I feel, I'm going to die. Because the thing that I'm feeling, the symptoms, I'm not going to say. If I go to a doctor and say how I want to feel, I will be like, doctor, I just wanted to tell you, I've never felt this energetic. I wake up in the morning fully rested. I immediately fall asleep when I go to sleep. And my body feels like really loose. Like I feel like I'm completely relaxed all the time. I never feel anxiety. I'm super happy. And the doctor will be like, great. I'm glad you're doing great. See you later. And I will die. And so that's what happens in relationships. That's what happens when people are in the public, is the thing they present to the world is not who they are. It's who they want to be.
Yeah.
And so if you feel comfortable enough with the world or with someone that you're with, then you start showing them the wound. You're showing them the wound, not because you want to be rejected, but because you desperately are hoping that they can heal you.
Well, that's different from being viciously mean and reactive because I'm talking to my boyfriend, but I'm actually really talking to my father. That's different.
That's the wound.
But that's different.
The wound's not pretty.
I know it's not, but my wound is not pretty.
No.
Okay, but
when is a wound pretty?
Wait.
Ugh, how gross would it be that you go to somebody and you have this fucking wound? And the person looks at it and is like, oh, so beautiful.
I'm dying for that. I call my vagina a wound. But anyway, Hadria, that's totally hacky. Okay, whatever. Anyway, with my blog, with my podcast, with my Insta stories or whatever, or these different variations on like how you like present yourself to the world, I've always tried to be like my complete self in the hopes that like, oh, okay, if I'm this fucking raw. Like I did this more with my blog. Forgive me for talking about my blog on your podcast.
Why? I think it's great. I like your blog.
But like I used to be so crazy, crazy, like so vulnerable and raw and forthcoming on that thing because I thought, fuck it. Like if somebody can handle this, then they see me. And that's now I've transitioned that to like, I wish my podcast, I'm working on it. And you make me want to be way more like honest in who I am. But like with my Insta stories, when I'm doing that a ton, my goal is, it's like, I'm like, this is me. I'm on my own. I'm living my life. If a man were to see this, and hopefully I'm attracted to this man, he's cool. And I think he's neat as well. Like if he were to respond to this, then he accepts me. Then he likes me. Then he like, then I have found a person who like can handle who I actually really am, not some front. But the problem is for me, what I always run into is and we've talked about this before, but whatever, now we're podcasting. Like I run into men who are like, you're so funny. You're so brave. Oh my God. I would never be able to say what you say. I can't believe it. You know? And then I'm like, oh wow. He gets me. He likes me. He accepts me. I can be safe in his arms and cause that's all I want. And I want to do the same to the other, to the person. Mm. But it's not okay. It's really not, because they get attracted to that and not to like keep, we've talked about this before, like they get attracted to it, but then they're like, oh yeah, but you're my girlfriend now. Like, can you cut it out? Or like, don't talk about me though. Or like, you're not going to mention us. So like, oh, you can talk about that, but like, I really prefer you didn't. Can you, like, so I refer to it as like being attracted to my light and then wanting to put a lampshade over me, you know, when it's like, so I'm getting tipsy on this rosé, but like, so it's this crazy thing. I'm trying to like put my complete self out there. And I don't know if it's different. I feel like, I feel like for you, as I'm slurring my words, I feel like for you, it's different because it's different for men a bit. Am I totally wrong? Where you can have your podcast and you're talking about like, oh my God, I can't believe it, living my life and doing all these things and psychedelic and I'm going to the thing and whatever, and give as much as you are giving of yourself on your various platforms and whatever. And I feel like women who fall in love with you through that are like, wow, he's so neat. And you know, he does this and he does that and he says this and this is who he is, and they'll accept it. But it's not like that for a woman who puts herself in the same position. Like if I am similar to you in any way.
That's not true. What you just said isn't true.
I don't know about that because I'm living my life trying to like, I'm just telling you what it's been like for being accepted in dating. I guess it's rare because when you do find the thing that accepts you, it should be rare because that's when you know it's so important that you found it, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so. Yeah.
Are we recording still?
Yeah. It's still rolling. I can see it roll. Yeah. No, but I think that what we do is pretty unique in the sense that it is like very up, very in front of people. And so, you know, a lot of people have a fundamental right to privacy. So, and many people don't want to be in the public eye, and there's nothing wrong with that. So if you wind up with someone who wants to be private, it's their right to be private. And that's a problem.
But why do they come for me then? That's like the funny thing. It's like, my thing is like, this is what I do. This is all the things. You like me. You appreciate this. You come towards me. You're into it. And then you're like bummed on it. And it's like, but you knew what you were getting into the whole time. And that's why, and for a moment, like
before. Because they weren't thinking it.
They weren't thinking it through.
They weren't thinking about it in that way. They were seeing you, the thing you're throwing in front of the world. And they weren't thinking, this is a person who puts everything in front of the world. They were thinking, I really like the person in front of the world.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking about the fact that the way they found you was because
they might,
you put yourself in front of the world. That's all. So,
but it's a horrible thing because then you feel like the rug's been pulled out from underneath you, and you go, "Oh wow, this person accepts me. They're into it." And I really don't feel. I feel like men get, and not to make it like men against women, because I love men. And I believe in they're wonderful, wonderful men, and like and all this stuff. But it is like, because it's emasculating a bit to like have some girl being like, you know, talking about her feelings and talking nonstop and. Like putting yourself out there, and I don't know. It's few and far between when it sits well with a guy.
It's funny to me that you are apocalyptic.
What do you mean?
I just realized is like both of our styles are if apocalypse means lifting of the veil, then both of our styles of podcasting and putting stuff out there is about as much as possible.
Lifting the veil.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're apocalyptic. I guess the definition of our aesthetic is a form of like apocalypse in the sense that the idea is like, okay, how much can I reveal? Now,
I want to reveal everything. I forgot.
You do?
I do, and I haven't been, and you're making me want to again, but you don't.
No, I
you're better.
I
mean,
no, what I've found in my experiments with it in general is that when I reveal something, the response is love. It's very rarely rejection. Like usually what you realize is like, oh, the universe seems to be playing a game with us where it wants us to tell the truth, but it's not going to force us to tell the truth.
Because you make other people feel less alone. You give them permission to feel less alone. They see themselves in you. It's the most beautiful thing. You're a conduit for other people. And so I feel like recently, sorry not to cut you off. I just totally cut you off.
No, you didn't.
I feel like I had to make the decision recently that like I had to choose like one or the other because I got so beaten down in horrible relationships with people I thought like accept me but didn't, or were addicts or mean and jealous or just, oh my God, like horror stories, that I went, oh my God, I just have to be okay with being alone forever. Relationships are terrifying and detrimental. If you want to be a conduit to like being really honest and being like the butt of the joke and making yourself very vulnerable so other people can feel less alone, and laugh, which is my main goal of anything that I'll ever do and have been doing for a while, then you just have to give up. You've got to be okay with aging out of having a baby. You've got to be okay with never getting married. You've got to be okay with, but the weird thing is I'm such a romantic. I'm at this crossroads and at odds with myself because I'm such a romantic and I'm a realist. So that's where I do myself in, because I'm like, I'm a realist, but I'm also super idealistic.
Wait, hold on.
Well, no.
Wait, let me stop you.
Okay.
I just before we go further.
Okay.
I just want to like break down your definition of romance, because it's interesting to me that you think that romance and realism don't meet.
Well, I want them to, but I feel like I've gotten all these, like, through my experiences, I got beaten down and now I feel more hopeful. But because I like constantly, like, you try out a thing and then it doesn't work out and you got to pick yourself up again and you go, but I believe in love and I'm hoping for the best. And that thing didn't work out, but that was that thing. And then I'm listening to people and everybody's like polyamorous and that's great and this and that. And like, but I'm like old school. I want to be like monogamous and I want my one person. And I've had enough sex with a million gazillion men in my entire life. I've had so many.
How much is a gazillion?
A lot. Like a lot. We didn't even talk about my Jason Segel story. I didn't have sex with them. Anyway. Okay. But I don't know. And then I just thought like, maybe that doesn't exist anymore. And like, I want like this perfect thing where I'm like, I have a partner and it's like this Cassavetes thing and we're making something together and like I can be my complete self and it's imperfect and it's like overshares and is insecure and I spiral, but I'm like, I also think I'm great and I'm making the things and I'm talking to people, but I want to be, I have like this whole idea of what I'm looking for and I've believed that exists for so long. And then I just got to this point recently where I was like, oh fuck, I don't even know if it does anymore. And like,
it can exist if you think romance and realism are separate things.
It will exist. They aren't. I want them to be one thing. But I look,
if
but
they're
the
separate things,
me,
then it's
then they're
doomed.
Not separate anymore. Then they won't be separate because, well, I got like, yeah, I don't know.
Because if you think about
then
it,
I'm still hopeful for romance. Forget, and that is realism. My realistic romance is what
I hope
this for.
Is one of the great, beautiful, like problems, sweet problems that we're having in the modern world right now is that we have this. We basically have these two strands. One of them is religion, and one of them is science. And
oh God, are you talking about Christopher Ryan now?
No.
Oh,
what?
God. Okay,
he doesn't
sorry.
Talk about that. What do you mean?
I thought you were going to talk about like Sex at Dawn. I'm like, I can't do this right now.
That's a completely. By the way, I don't know why. First of all, you and me and Christopher Ryan have to like go do our own podcast.
You invented that for him.
You would like him. He's a wonderful human. Okay. So, right. but. The no, I'm not talking. I'm no. What
wow,
I'm
Duncan?
Talking about is
God.
We have these two in the human identity. We have these two threads of the personality of the human identity. One of them, religion. One of them, science. So if we look at all humans that ever lived as one person, and the flow of history is the thought process of this person, then we see that these two interesting thoughts. Trying to merge. One of them is the idea that we live in this universe that everything's alive, everything's made of love, everything emerges from love, everything is an expression of God. And the other is materialism, scientific materialism, which is like, I don't know if that's true. Like, I think that we just have matter, atoms, reactions, chemical reactions, but this extra stuff you're putting on there, I don't know if that's real. So people who are like devout scientific materialists will immediately, if you posed them the thing that you know is true, which I know is true, which is that the universe springs from like a divine intelligence and that we're living inside of love, they're going to be like, no, we're not living inside of fucking love. We're living inside of a bunch of chemical reactions. That's what you are. And that's it.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's not for me.
It's two threads.
Yeah.
So one of them is romantic and one of them is realistic. And so what we're seeking is to merge these two back together again. And once we do that, we will have found the ultimate love. And I think that is like the not only the quest in an individual's life, but I think it's the hope for our entire species, which is the we had to split apart in this way so that we could like really understand the world in this at the atomic level. And because of that, so many great things have emerged. But then because of that, to like kick aside myth.
Yeah,
is insanity to kick aside this sweet, beautiful harmony of story and that it's given so many people's lives meaning is brutality at the highest level.
Yeah.
But to kick aside science, because you want to live in some fantasy land where like Krishna is playing a flute in the forest.
What science am I pushing aside though? Am I pushing aside science?
You're not, but yeah. I'm saying you were separating romance from realism. And I'm saying
I guess somebody told me that one time, I guess. And that really broke my heart. Cause I guess like I was in a thing with somebody and he separated the two and I let that stick with me where I went, wow. Okay. So what I strive for is not realistic. But so that's me just like cutting myself emotionally.
It's you being the representation of all humanity, and all humanity has a broken heart right now because
they do.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we've been either disconnected from the story or we've been disconnected from truth. And the story is so beautiful that it deserves an entire life dedicated to it. And truth is so beautiful. It deserves an entire life dedicated to it. But right now the idea is these two things can't coexist. So we pick one or the other, which...
Well, here's what I like to be hopeful about. If this is what gets me through the night, if I feel like I'm a person who wants this and is capable of like being monogamous, being honest, being my complete self, having the willingness to accept a person exactly as they are and communicate through moments of like things not making sense. And I can be kind and graceful and whatever, and like just treat them the way I would want to be treated. And I have this way in which I want to have a relationship. There are so many people in the world. Hopefully there must, I must, I have hope that there is at least one other person who shares my belief system that maybe I'm also attracted to, and I want to have sex with them. In you know, so I go, you know, all it takes is the another person who shares the world in which I am constructing my brain that I want to live in, right? Like, so it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It's like I just need to find that one other person who like let's say I'm like, sorry if I'm like tipsy and slurring and all over the place.
You don't seem,
but like. If Christopher Ryan, like, was I, because everybody talks to me about, like, oh, Christopher Ryan, Sex at Dawn, you got to read that book, and blah, blah. And he talks about how
such
monogamy
is.
I'm sure, I can't wait to meet him. I'd love to meet him. I'd love to date him. I'd love to have sex. I'm just kidding. Is he married?
No.
I don't want to have sex with him.
You could totally have sex.
I don't want to. How dare you? That was a trick.
Why?
You just failed. Sweetie. That was a trick. I just wanted to. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know where I'm going with all this. But all that matters is the two people in a relationship are on the same page and are honest with each other about whatever the terms of that relationship are. You know what I mean? So that's like, and so there can be a myriad of different relationships that exist, or like what the goal is nowadays with romance and blah, blah. But as long as you're like, whether you're in a relationship with like four people and it's polyamorous and it's fucking whatever, like, or you're with another person and you're both like subscribing to this idea where it's like, okay, you're not going to fuck anybody else and I'm not going to. And when we want to, we're really going to talk. Like all that matters is like, everybody's on the same page. Like the tricky part is when people start like saying they're signed up for one thing and then they're like lying about it. Then you're like, what the fuck, dude? Like if you wanted to fuck people, why don't you just tell me? Maybe I wanted to fuck another person too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
that is evil.
Yeah.
Isn't that evil? Isn't that like one of the manifestations of evil?
Well, yeah, it's controlling. It's like, it's evil. It's like, but it really, it means that person's hurting because they're not okay enough or aligned with themselves enough to like go, oh, I can say what I need and what I want, and I'm kind, and I can like be like that with the other person I'm with. So that's really, they're probably in agony, but like, you know, I don't know.
God, the dream is to be in the eye of love, and the eye of love doesn't care what you've done, and the eye of love doesn't care who you are, and this is like, you know, the Ram Dass people tell me, I know people who've been around Neem Koli Baba, who is a saint, and all, like what was, when you were in his presence, what was really unnerving about it was that he knew you, not just knew you like, oh, I know you, but literally like telepathically could tell you things about yourself and could tell you the very greatest thing that you were hiding.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh my God.
And then on top of that, he loved you, but he didn't love you in some kind of like Santa Claus way. He loved you like the way your best friend loves you. Like, I love you.
Yeah.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I love you. I love that you might not be okay because I know that this thing goes on forever. And in this moment, exactly where you're at, I love you. And that experience for a lot of people was so overwhelming that like it would blow you into pieces. Like you couldn't deal with it.
It should be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that's heaven, because to be in that eye, the eye of love, with the thing, whatever it is, whatever the thing is you're so ashamed of. And to somehow get lucky enough to become in the eye of a thing so sophisticated that whatever the fucking human thing you did was,
oh my God,
it still loves you, but it doesn't love you in some stupid like Hallmark card way.
It sees you and loves you.
Passionately.
Yeah.
Like it wants to be with you the way a lover wants to be with a beloved. It doesn't love you like, oh, I'm going to be around you and now I'm going to love you. It's like, I'm so happy to be with you. I'm so lucky to be with you. I love you. I see you deeply. That is it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is in the beginning, we were talking about this with these fucking psychopaths. We need a forgiveness chamber because our species doesn't know how to love someone who is doing this shit yet.
Yeah.
We haven't figured out how to do that yet.
Why are they like that? Why are they doing what they're doing? Yeah, there needs to be empathy and there's like we're leaving that part out. Not that I'm forgiving all these people.
Well, empathy and forgiveness are maybe two separate things. And it's like, you know, the victims...
I've empathy for them.
The hierarchy, the victims, I mean, Jesus, we didn't even get to the thing that you have told me, which is so fucking horrifying.
About Russell Simmons?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Like, which is like, how do you take Russell Simmons or take like, you know, I don't know, Hitler. How do you forgive that? How do you look at that with the eye of love? How do I look at,
oh my God, there's so many different levels.
How do I look at Hitler or Russell Simmons with the eye of love? How do I see a being that has caused, I mean, this is God.
Oh God.
What's that fucking, it's such an embarrassing quote. What is that goddamn Bob Marley quote?
Oh boy, here we go.
Is there, no.
I knew this would happen on this podcast.
Wait, no, how does it go? Is there, no, this is like, what? This is, hold on.
Look it up.
I can't tell you how mortified I am to be quoting Bob Marley on this podcast.
Me too.
I've never sunk to this level.
I was told this would happen. Good thing you're so handsome.
Who told you that, Dave Beck? You think so? Really?
I do.
Don't think
you're
of
so,
myself.
You're very handsome.
Thank you. I can't believe you think that. I think you're very beautiful.
You do?
Yeah, you are very.
Okay, what's this every, okay.
So no. So the line is, this is from One Love. It's so embarrassing to be reading Bob Marley, but fuck it. And the line is, there is one question I'd really love to ask. Is there a place for the hopeless sinner who has hurt all mankind just to save his own beliefs? And it's such a brilliant, brilliant question because it's like, yeah, what about that person? What about that being that is so fucking hopeless? And hopeless is the right word. So buried underneath their karma that there is no hope. Is there, it's so great, is there a place for them in the world? It's such a great question because if we have a divine
creator, there has to be.
Right.
There has to be, of course, because, and that's so funny because I can even make this, not to make it about me, but even to make a lighter thing where it's like, I feel like as boring and vanilla as I am, and I'm not fucking Russell Simmons or Harvey Weinstein or Burt Ratner or whatever, like, I felt like I've been like so judged for being promiscuous or having sex or having a past or talking about sex and
yeah.
And being in these relationships with these people who thought they liked me and then looked at me and go, oh, I guess I'm okay with what you're doing. Or you're a little flirty on that podcast or you kind of revealed a little bit too much. Like, I don't know about that. And I just thought like, oh God, when am I going to like, why am I such, I guess I'm a whore or a slut or a piece of shit or I'm not good enough or worthy of, like, it's just, I don't know. I'm rambling now because I'm tipsy, but it's Thanksgiving. But like, I don't know. I've just hoped to be, I've been accepted by people that I'm dating, let alone whatever you're talking about Bob Marley's asking for.
We want to be loved and we want to be accepted and forgiven. And it's a universal desire. And the problem is we need a way to do that in the extreme in our society that isn't the death penalty. We need a way to do that in the extreme for
Stop
things.
Stop yelling at me.
God damn it! When will you forgive the world, Alexi?
Oh God.
No, it's just like, we're going to run into a problem as the apocalypse happens. Which is the veil is going to be lifted on everything.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to deal with the fact that like the way people act is not who they are. And it's a problem because we need to like learn how to like love the way a person is and understand that this is a wound. But simultaneously, the crazy feat that we need to come up with is a way to not enable them.
Is that Gatsby? Yeah, your dogs love me.
Gatsby's figured out like when to like the. So it's like, how do we do that? How do you figure out a way to, you know, heal people when they're the worst fucking thing you could imagine as a society?
I don't have all the answers, but I do have to say it's the best outfit I've ever seen you in my entire life.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding right now. This is like a great outfit you're wearing.
A black t-shirt and jeans? Yeah, much like what Louis C.K. wears?
Oh, whatever. No. Oh my God. No, you do look very handsome. And can I also say really quick, I'm sorry. Yeah. I know you're trying to get deep and political and whatever, and whatnot, but you know, it's probably going to have to land this plane soon. But your followers, because like we were going to podcast the other day and then I had like a panic attack, nervous breakdown kind of vibe. And like we didn't podcast and now we're here on Thanksgiving podcasting. But like I got like 200 new followers just because you posted me on your Insta stories.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're all super sweet, like telling me about like supplements and like saying hello and they love you. And they're like, your followers are like the nicest people.
They're sweeties.
I know. They're so nice. So thank you for introducing me to a slew of like all these like cool, like, I don't know. Are they mainly men?
What?
Who are the people who listen to your podcast?
Actually, I think there's a mix in there. It's not just mainly men.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Not mainly men. Women probably love you and you're single now and like they're all coming after you and like... I'm furious. Oh, God.
Are you furious?
I said furious.
Do you feel... Oh, you're furious because we've kind of been dating.
You and me?
Feel like you're not... You shouldn't talk about that?
That we're dating?
Well, we've been like...
Oh, my God. Are you drunk?
I'm not drunk.
Yes, we've been dating.
Your whole thing is like to... You were just saying how you wanted to be so revelatory about everything and then...
Yeah, we're dating.
Is that what it is?
You and me?
Yeah.
Stop picking your nose. That makes me feel like
my nose. It itched.
It's like disrespectful. What do you want me to say about us dating? I feel like...
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, I'm sorry. Did I reveal too much?
No. I feel like...
You were just saying, like, when you were with men, and then they'd be like, oh, you said too much.
I know. No, this is a nice thing, because I feel like the weird thing is I feel like, oh, my God, your dogs are making so much noise. Oh, it's really weird, because getting ready to do your podcast, I was, like, so shy to do your podcast, and I had, like, a nervous breakdown. Gatsby, we're talking.
I'll have you euthanized.
No!
I would never. He's the greatest animal.
You made me wake up because I was like, fuck, I used to have my blog. I stopped doing that because the reason I stopped doing my blog is you asked me that the other day, just to catch people up if they're even still listening to this podcast. But I stopped doing that blog because I got so sick of like inviting people into my life because people are so mean. Like, you know, like on Instagram, on YouTube, on podcasts, like comments and people, I got so sensitive. I like crumbled. So I stopped doing my blog. And then I thought, oh, I'll do my podcast. And my podcast isn't as honest as my Insta stories, and it's not as honest as my blog used to be. I don't know why. And then meeting you recently, it's so weird that I met you. You've made me want to up my game and go back to who I used to be or something and be really super honest. So like, anyway,
thank you.
So that's nice. So thank you for doing that. But yeah, we're dating. It's cool for a moment. I don't know what's happening.
I don't either. But I mean, what you were saying earlier was making me feel these like waves of guilt, which is like, oh my God, if the aesthetic that we're doing is that we have to be completely honest, then if this is the first thing we do together and we're not being like honest about what's happening,
oh
then
my
what,
God, then Duncan, it's terrible. I can't believe
then, like, that thing itself is like a...
Like, you're so right. Like, I had... Bad. Why are you... I can't believe you're doing this right now. Well, yeah. So... That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Because it's like, oh, shit, I guess like if the thing that we do is to in some way or another be like, all right, well, this is what's happening.
Be completely honest, like take the veil. But that's so funny because you are not like any of those guys that I used to date because I feel like...
I could be.
No, you're not.
Who knows?
Because you're like another version of me. You're like this like, oh, whimsical, living your life. Oh, my God, I'm such a
Koopa. I can think of things I wouldn't want to on the air. I can think of things I wouldn't want to share with
everyone. Oh, well, this is what happened. But whatever, we'll talk. Listen, we just met. But I would get annoyed with guys who would say, well, you're not going to talk about me, are you? Or like, don't share this, blah, blah, blah. Because I navigate it in such a graceful way, I swear. Like, I know how to navigate a thing where I'm like respectful of people's privacy.
Sick of navigating.
You're sick of navigating?
Aren't you?
I like the word navigate. Like, I'm just saying, like, on my podcast, and I'm going to up my fucking game now because you've inspired me, like, to, I don't know. You've just inspired me to be better. So, like, future podcasts from here on out are going to be way better because Duncan Trussell just inspired me. Like,
you inspired me.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like you're just the opposite of all those guys. Like, that's why I was talking shit about men I've dated in the past because I feel like you're, like, we seem so similar. Like these, like, that's negative, perma adolescent. That's not right. But like, I just
What's
feel like
the word?
I was going to say perma adolescent, but that's not right. That's like a negative. That's like pejorative. But like
permafrost, but with adolescence?
No!
That'd be amazing if there's some part of the world that's just like permanently adolescent.
What I mean is, because we're like searching, right? Like you're searching for something, right? And you like with honesty and all the stuff, and like you're putting yourself out in the world, and you are using yourself as a conduit to like, you're curious and you're learning about things and you're meeting people and you're talking to people and you're trying whatever it is you're trying. And I'm whatever, like, so I just feel like we're so similar in our like quest towards whatever it is our quest is. So it's like, I don't feel like you could be like a light, like a shine stealer. You couldn't be a shine stealer. You couldn't
be a shine. I have been.
You have been?
Absolutely.
But you've outgrown that. But okay, whatever. Maybe you are. Forget it. Thank you for talking me out of having a crush on you. But also, I feel like you and I have such like an ability to like communicate and talk about stuff. And even like, you know, for the listeners, we went to a party the other night and like, I can't believe you did this. You did this, Duncan. Like I was not going to talk about
Well, now we're actually dating. Doing a podcast.
Oh my God. It's true. Like we were at a party the other day. Well, I can't talk about this because you want me to keep this a secret and I'll respect that, but whatever. We were at a party and you did something irritating or I thought was irritating and I brought it up to you and you, the way you communicated with me, you're like, oh yeah, I just did that thing because I'm my own person. And I went, oh yeah. And I respect
guys,
you.
I threw pig's blood on a mosque.
Yes, he did. And I was like, but the funny thing was what was different with you was the minute you told me why you did what you did and you just were like being yourself and stood up for yourself, the minute you just like said anything to me, I have such respect for you that I couldn't pull all my usual bullshit I pull on past men because I've, first of all, I'm in a different place in my life. Also, I respect you so much. Also, we're so similar. Two podcasters just
podcasting.
But anything
could go wrong at any second. Do you feel like that? Like,
who cares? So let it go wrong, but it has not gone wrong yet.
No.
But you are just out of a relationship.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you do. I mean, that is like, there's no way.
I'm fine. We're just living our lives.
When you get out of a relationship, there's no way that you could not have just gotten out of a relationship. There's no way.
You're the one who told me not to worry about the fact that you just got out of a relationship. You told me not to let that detract. That shouldn't detract me from taking you seriously, right?
Yeah, because I don't want, no one wants to
Good.
Feel like there should be.
So I take you seriously.
I don't want, thank you.
So you're just, you're my new friend, Duncan Trussell. You're very handsome. You're super neat. You make me want to be better. You say I do the same for you, or maybe you
do.
Don't.
And, well, no, I'm because you're aesthetic, like, you know, you're at the
are you thing- too dry? Are you going to delete this from your podcast?
No, this is like, I'm so glad that we like hit this point.
I wasn't sure. I was trying to, you know, abide by your rules, you know?
I have no rule. I didn't know what would happen.
Oh my God. Also, you met me at a weird time. I've been doing drugs. I'm not in the right frame of mind.
What's your weird time? What do you mean? What drugs?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
What drugs have I done recently? Oh God, I can't even tell you. You don't want to know.
I think I do know.
I tried ketamine. I tried. Crazy. I did DMT for the second time.
Well, you should sober up.
Wow, you should stop being so bossy.
I mean, psychedelics, are you kidding? Like, we've got to like, here's what I think. And many of my listeners know that I think this, which is that the United States government has told us what intoxicants are the right ones to take if you want to live a productive life. That's alcohol, caffeine, and
smoking.
Cigarettes. Sure. Thank you for reminding me. And also like opiates, like if the doctor prescribes it, Xanax, benzos. These are good, healthy drugs. The psychedelics, ketamine, MDA, MDMA, God forbid, LSD.
MDA, yes, I
tried
that the other day.
These will destroy a person's life. I mean, if you start taking those, then the next thing you know, you'll start thinking that the most important thing is connection and love, and then, you know, what comes after that? What are you gonna fucking join a fucking commune in Arizona?
Whatever.
Change your name, go to Burning Man?
Alexia.
Grow up, Wasser!
Alexi Trussell. Just kidding. Anyway, oh God. Are you blackout drunk right now?
What?
Do you know what we're revealing on this podcast right now?
I think it's great.
Okay. But yeah, you shaking me up. It's so funny because I was like asleep with the wheel, like getting ready for this podcast. I was so nervous. That's why we couldn't do it the other day. And then I like looked at my life and I was like, oh, what have I done? Oh, the blog and this and that and the whatever and the sold shows. I'm trying to make a movie right now. I'm trying to be honest with who I am, but I just felt so, I had felt so dead inside and I didn't realize how dead inside I felt. And then meeting you, it's so funny. Like even you talking to me about my podcast intros, because I've kind of fallen asleep at the wheel, and this will change whoever decides to follow me after this podcast anyway. But like, I have been asleep at the wheel, and you said to me the other day, you went, because you really like my Insta stories. I'm not putting these. This,
yeah,
what
true.
You said to me.
100%.
You're like, wow, you really differentiate your intro to your podcast from your Insta stories. And I was like, oh my God, I know exactly what that means. I cannot believe you said that. Like, because I already knew that. Like, I was like, oh fuck, Duncan Trussell sees me. He understands. Like, I'm like phoning it in with these like rote podcast intros. Like, I'm not being like as real or funny or like fucking honest as I could be, which is what I do on my Insta stories. Why am I differentiating the two? So it's like so weird. Like, even just meeting you, if only for that, you've reawakened something in me where I'm like, get back to who you were when you were just some fucking kid. Like, when I was doing my podcast, or no, my blog and like street teaming and like had a backpack on, and I was like putting stickers so people,
that's wild that you would do that. That's crazy. We didn't even get into that.
I would break into like high school campuses and like climb the fence of Hollywood High, Fairfax High, Marlboro all girl private school. I would like break onto the campus, try to pretend I was a high school student with a hoodie on, and like got stopped by the cops and would like put stickers up and like go to Urban Outfitters and American Apparel and be like, oh, I'm affiliated with like Vice and American Apparel. Like, I would just make up lies because it was like, so like, I have to do this. I so believe in this blog. I want people to get the word out. And then I got a development deal on a show, and I stopped doing the shit that got me the corporate stuff. Like,
right.
And so like, I forgot who I was. I stopped doing the shit that got me the attention, because I thought, well, I'm going to get a show now. I've made it. And like, and that's when and then I just like kind of slowly died, and like things didn't go, it didn't happen. And then I like got disenchanted, and it's weird. Like, meeting you and doing my Insta stories and, yeah, the Insta stories. It's so funny. Insta stories. It's so embarrassing. That's,
we need a better name.
Because it's fun. No, but that's what the name is. And it's like, it's so funny because that's like, oh, I'm getting back to the fun stuff. Being funny, being silly, being light, not so much pressure. It's just whatever. Who gives a fuck? Like, youthful enthusiasm, like teenage whatever. And like, and it's, and you zeroed in on that and you like that. And like, and then I met you and you're like, cause like, we have been like this like lovely wake up reminder. And like, even, you know, I met you and I'm like writing this movie thing. So I thought, fuck it. All these shows I sold didn't get made. And I know I keep talking about myself. Forgive me, but it's a podcast and I'm just going to
talk about it. Well, it's your episode. But like, you're supposed to talk about yourself.
But I, because of the interest I got in my blog, I got all these, like, I sold like 6 TV shows. None of them got made. And like every time a show didn't get made, it was like a punch in the stomach. But I keep getting up, like I do in love when I date, whatever. You keep getting up, you keep getting up. And then at some point I just thought, oh my God, like I can't, this is exhausting. And then I thought, I want to make a movie. So I made a short film in 2016. I made a short film, and that was so fun. Over the course of a weekend, it cost $200 to make. It screened at CineFamily, which is now like
super great.
Well, CineFamily is now in tatters because like Hadrian from CineFamily is like, we found all these horrible things about him. Google him. It's like another Weinstein weird situation. Whatever. But at the time, my short film screened at CineFamily. It was about a breakup, a cathartic breakup short film. And I felt, wow, like I'm alive again. And then I like did mushrooms alone, and I did all these things in 2016. I drove to Sundance the beginning of, like, in a car. I drove to Sundance from LA to Sundance.
Cool.
Like in January, like I was doing all these things to be like, I want to do something that scares me like once a week or something. And like, we're all just going to die. It's just a question of when and how, whatever. And then somehow after Sundance, I dated this Adderall addict who kind of like really judged everything I do and make. And he just made me go, fuck it. Fuck it. I'm tapped out. I'm done. And then I thought, well, maybe I'll make a movie because I just like more, I'm more in control of that. I can make an indie movie for like a very little bit of money, and that'll be wonderful and inspiring. But I have been a bit dead inside. And then I met you and your youthful, charming enthusiasm, you know, like, yeah, you're like this magical person. So like, in a way it's like, and I was too scared the other day, but now it's Thanksgiving, we're having rosé, and I feel safe with you to tell you. But, and all your listeners should know, like, yeah, it's like, you've brought me back to life in this weird way. So I promise, I swear to God, from this day forward, all my work will be better. I promise.
Your work is already amazing.
Well, thank you for reminding me. Because I forgot.
It's an easy thing. Well, no, this is.
So thank you. I'm grateful for you.
This is what I'm thankful for you. But this is
holding my hand. You can't see.
This is what we call the satsang, which is that we're here to remind each other. This is the thing, like the waveform of existence goes from being awake to asleep, literally. Like, every time the planet rotates, half of the planet is asleep and half of the planet's awake. It's the most psychedelic thing. It's Terrence McKenna talks about this. It's so psychedelic. The planet rotates, and when it rotates, half of the planet falls in to a deeply psychedelic state. They go into a coma, they close their eyes, and they hallucinate for 6 to 8 hours. Hopefully eight. You shouldn't just sleep for six.
Okay.
So that's called dreaming, yeah. Right? So yeah. So this is like the pattern of life is to go asleep and to wake up. But also the pattern of personal growth is to fall asleep and to wake up.
Am I waking up now?
Well, I hope so. I hope I am too. But the idea is you want to be around people who remind you to wake up.
Yeah, that's
and
you.
You don't want to keep you asleep.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can get around people.
Oh, God.
And they want you to stay asleep. And if you start waking up, they'll try to put you back to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you don't want. That can happen. And that's like, that. If that happens to you, and this is in Buddhism, one of the prayers is, may you never fall into the company of bad men. And what that means is,
Yeah. Don't
get in a group of people who are dedicated to keeping each other asleep. Get around a group of people who are dedicated to the understanding that you're going to fall asleep, I'm going to fall asleep, but when I'm asleep, will you please wake me up, but do it in a compassionate way.
I also feel like the universe has a way of waking you up where it's like, if you're meant to be doing something and you're not doing it, you're going to get shaken and they're going to shake you up, right?
Yes.
Like something will happen, but you won't listen to it. You won't listen to it. And then it happens again. It's bigger and it's bigger. And I felt like that happened to me in May and I got in a horrible car accident. And like, that's why I wanted to make my movie. I told you about this. This is boring. So we already talked about it.
No, tell the story again. Cause it's insane. You were driving up, what, you were on the PCH or something?
Well, I think I kept getting caught up in weird relationships. Like the January story, like I met a guy at Sundance and he was an Adderall addict and he was horrible. And it was a horrible codependent, terrible relationship. If I had not gotten out of it, I probably would have died because it was all about him. Yeah. There's so much drama, and sometimes you can get into a relationship where you can't pay attention to your life anymore because all the energy has to go towards the relationship, and it's a soul sucker. It's like, it's just like an energy draining suck, and it's horrible, but also it's kind of cool because you feel very important. It's very dramatic and it's very exciting because when you make up, it's sexy. Maybe
yes.
There's a lot of attention put on you, but not towards the greater good of your life. But like, so
right.
So finally in May, and I've been meaning to make this movie that I'm writing that I've told you about for years. I've been meaning to make it, but yeah. I would make men the center of my life, and I would get lost in men or lost in whatever I got lost in. That's my fault. And then in May, like this past May, I was like, oh God, should I tell you this story?
Yeah.
In May, I was like, living my life. I borrowed like my mom's like some weird old timey SUV Ford Explorer. And I was like picking up my dad's photos. He's a photographer. I got them framed from some place in Marina Del Rey.
Julian Wasser, famous photographer.
We don't talk, but whatever. I hope he's alive and well. Let me know if he's alive still, you guys. Okay. But even though I don't get along with my father, I have incredible respect for him. So he told me, if you ever get my photos framed, go to this place in Marina Del Rey. So I did that. And so I borrowed my mom's shitty Explorer, picked these photos up from the framing place in Marina Del Rey. I was driving and I'm on this freeway. I don't know what freeway it was, but it's like this very, very high up, like narrow neck of the freeway. And it's like where it meets like the 405. And it's like this narrow neck of the freeway that meets the 405 is like so high up above another freeway. You could like go there to commit suicide. So I'm like on this neck of the freeway and all of a sudden I start weaving and I'm not texting, I'm not insta-storying, I'm not listening to the radio, I'm just fucking, and I go, what the fuck, what's going on? And I'd never experienced this, so I didn't know what was happening, but my back tire blew out.
So
my car was lost control, and luckily there was no traffic coming, there were no other cars, but I'm just like completely just like weaving left and right, and all of a sudden I start doing donuts, which are like, I start doing like just fucking, I do six complete circles, just like,
fuck.
And I'm like thinking, cause it's slow motion. I'm just in my car going, oh my fucking God, what the fuck? Like no other cars are coming, but I'm just doing these circles. I go, oh my God, is this how I'm fucking going to die? Cause we all know we're just going to die. It's just like a question of when and how. Like I go, oh my fucking God, I can't believe this is how I'm going to die, coming from the framer. This is crazy. So I do six complete circles and I come out of that. And I start like, and I go backwards towards like the partition, the railing of the freeway. And I'm like, just like, careening towards like this partition that's like very low or whatever it is. Very, what's the word? Short. I don't know. Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Low. And I think like, and if I go over this thing, I'm going to plummet to my death. And I think, oh my God, like, when am I going to hit air? When is the pain going to hit me? I can't fucking believe this. I'm careening towards this partition. I'm going to go over. And like, and I just like, I'm like, all of a sudden I'm like praying. I'm like speaking to my angels. Oh, and I'm like, God. I'm like, angels, angels. No, no, no. I don't want to die. It's not how I want to die. I don't want to die. I can't believe this. I didn't get to make my movie. I didn't get to make my movie. And I didn't think like, oh, I'm not in love. I didn't have a baby. I didn't, weirdly, like the thing that I'm like talking to my angels, all of a sudden I'm having a conversation with angels I didn't even realize I had, but I'm like talking to angels being like, I didn't get to make my movie, which is this thing I've been putting off for fucking many years, getting caught up in like men that were wrong for me or things that were wrong for me. And like, and so I hit the partition and I think I'm about to go over, all the glass blows out of the back of the car. I get thrown, thrust back into the middle of the freeway diagonally. I stop. All of a sudden, like 50 cars, all of a sudden, here are the cars coming, come around from the bend. And I go, oh shit, fuck, I didn't go over the edge, but now all these cars are going to bash into me. Jesus. This is how I'm going to die. Is this how I'm going to die? And I didn't know this, but later I heard that there's like some rule where you're not supposed to get out of a car on a moving freeway because then another car will surely hit you. But I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I get out of the car, I grab my phone, I'm shaking, my right leg is like buckling, about to buckle, shaking. And I jump out of the car and I just start like running to traffic and going, help, stop, please, no. And all these other cars are like, fuck you, get out of the middle of the road, what the fuck? Like, because I think I like wanted to be there or whatever. But like, and luckily no car fucking hit me. And some people helped me, and it's really weird because like one guy pulled over and goes, he starts walking towards me, and I think, oh wow, maybe I'm gonna meet the love of my life, maybe I'm gonna have some kind of love connection here. And this one guy goes, he goes, Alexi? And I went, Josh? And it was like the husband of one of my friends who just happened to be on the freeway, and I got in his car, and he like, anyway, long story longer, like I didn't fucking die in this crazy car wreck. And like, and my main concern in that moment of nearly dying was making a movie. So like, that's my main goal now. But like, yes, but you've awoken me, the car crash that I nearly died in awoken me, and like, yeah, I don't know what the point of all this stuff was, but I'm glad I'm alive.
The point is that that's crazy. In that moment of realizing why you want to be alive is such an important moment, because that's the Viktor Frankl, who I've told you about, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning and developed this type of therapy called logos therapy. He would ask his patients, why don't you kill yourself?
Why don't you kill yourself? That's so funny.
Yeah. And the answer came to you as your car was spinning. And why? But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Why do you want to make your movie?
I don't even know if I do anymore. No, I do. You know why I want to make my movie? There are a bunch of reasons. Well, because it's just an all an extension of like all the other stuff. I want to be the most honest I can possibly be so vulnerable and raw with like my own experiences and put them into this movie so other people can watch, maybe go, wow, me too. Or that gives me permission to do whatever, or I feel less alone. But also I love being in the doing of things, because then I can get out of my head. Like when you're like shooting something, when you're writing something, when you're watching a movie, whatever, when you're writing a thing, when you're shooting something, like time is different. It's just different. And there's no time for me to be making myself suffer and overthinking and thinking I'm not enough, or wondering what that look from that stranger was at the party, or if people like me and all this stuff. And like, cause that's a big part of things I like to talk about, like internal suffering and spiraling and like insecurity and like, you know, all the ugly things that people you're supposed to front, like you're so cool and you have everything together. I like talking about all that shit because I feel like that's so universal and real. And when does everybody have to, when do you decide you have to make everything be perfect? But anyway, I get out of my head. So it makes me happier to be in the doing of the making of a thing. And I think making a feature would be like something I'd like to, that would help me get out of my own head. It'd be like therapeutic, and I'd be proud of myself. And it's just like the life fulfillment thing. Cause like, if we are just all going to die, and maybe this like lifetime is like, so our souls evolve and you get to the next thing, or you learn a thing and we are going to die, or whatever the fuck happens after all this, it's like, well, cool. So what do I want to do? I want to try mushrooms. I'm going to try MDMA. I'm going to have a lot of great sex. I'm going to like have a great dinner with a bunch of friends and share. I'm going to make a movie. Wow, I fucking made a movie. That's cool. I'm going to go get up on stage and do stand up. I'm going to like, you know what I mean? So it's like all the things are just like, you do all the things because it's just cool to do all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's bringing beauty into the world.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh God, I could tell you a million more things, but I won't tell you all these things. But
we'll do more podcasts.
We have to do more podcasts now that we're.
Where can people find you?
Where can people find me?
Yeah.
On Instagram and Twitter at Alexi Wasser. And I like to DM with strangers so that could get real weird and fun. And then my podcast, Love Alexi, on iTunes.
That is
iTunes.
True. You're open to everyone. It's a really beautiful thing.
I like, because I feel like there's a freedom in talking to strangers. Like, I love it when people DM me, and I'll talk to everybody because I'm an only child living my life alone, longing for connection. So it's so fun. And also you can be more of your true self because nobody has some like preconceived notion of you.
No one DM. Hands off, you guys.
You better DM me, you guys. No. At Alexi Wasser.
Don't DM her.
Love Alexi on iTunes.
Only DM her.
Subscribe, review, rate. Okay. Yeah. And then I'll tell you about Russell Simmons almost raping me and almost having sex with Jason Segel later.
I can't believe I blew that. Like, I know. That's a huge...
And
thing.
One of my best friends was accused of rape, and I keep getting bullied on the internet about people wanting me to talk about it. And I had a really wonderful exchange finally with a girl who was bullying me, saying my silence is deafening. I'm not talking about my best friend who was accused online of raping people. And we had a wonderful exchange, and we got through it. And it was so interesting to have this like lovely communicative exchange with a stranger because, yeah, the internet's fucking screaming lately, and it's like. Anyway, but it's going to be okay.
What do you think is like, what would the, like, once we get the masculine and feminine energies like balanced out here, what do you think the perfect world looks like?
The perfect world?
Yeah. Like, what would it look like? Like,
we'll never have that.
No, I know.
That's part of it. You need the contrast to know the good stuff, right?
Oh, okay. All right. But let's just imagine I've given you access to the simulation, to the computer running the simulation, and you could then, in some way, to the best of your ability, produce a utopia where the masculine and feminine energies have finally been balanced. What would it look like?
Oh God. Well, I would like to imagine that we live in a world where it's not one or the other, where it's not like men completely terrified of women because they don't want to come off as rapists. And because I feel like that's where we're getting to right now, where men are like, oh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm terrified. I'm going to hide under this rock. Oh. And like, cause you know, it's like, there is an in between. There's a happy medium between that and like full on rapist fucking piece of shit. But, I don't know. What is it? It's a man asks a woman on a date. He pays for the first dinner and all the stuff after.
That's utopia. Utopia to you is guys paying for dinners?
Utopia is people treating other people the way they want to be treated, even though that seems sick and twisted and not right either, because like who knows what people want and what their weird fetishes are. I don't know. Kindness, grace, communication. I don't fucking know. Being your most honest self, and then you find your people. You find your tribe of people, right? I don't know.
How do we get closer to that?
How do we get closer to that? You have to learn to not be afraid to be who you are and communicate and say what you need, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to, I don't know, be empathetic and loving and not reactive and like and be okay to say no and wish people well when it's not right. And then you go find your thing, and I'll go find my thing. And then... And listen to your intuition. And I suppose, like, you're, I know you don't meditate. I know you're a big advocate of not meditating or whatever I hear about you.
Yeah.
You meditate so you can tune into, I mean, I think it's the voice of God. That's your intuition. Like, but if that makes you not want to follow me on Instagram, don't get scared. I don't know. You listen to your intuition, a little voice inside you that's like God telling you what to do. I don't know. I have no answer for that. I'm too tipsy on rosé.
You just gave a lot of great answers.
I hope so. I don't know.
Alexi Wasser, thank you so much for being on the show. You're amazing. I'm so lucky that I get to hang out with you at all. You're super cool. Thank you.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
Hare Krishna. That was Alexi Wasser, everybody. All the links you need to find Alexi will be at DuncanTrussell.com. Much thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode. Remember, go to squarespace.com, use offer code Duncan to get 10% off a new domain name or a brand new website. If you like this podcast, why not subscribe to us at Patreon by going to patreon.com/DTFH, subscribe to us on iTunes, give us a nice rating, give your life a nice rating. I will see you all very soon. Hare Krishna.